As we read our Bibles, we can find many examples, many illustrations to emphasize the truth of God. This morning, I want to talk for a few minutes on a most unusual illustration, and that is of the ant, A-N-T. We read of her only two times in the Bible. In Proverbs, the 6th chapter, in verse 6, the writer tells us to go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. A sluggard is a lazy person, an idler. In Proverbs, the 30th chapter, verses 24 and 25, four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. I want to say at the beginning that I may mention the ant as a he, where I would try to remember to mention them as a she, as Scripture does. The ant is not known for its size or strength. And in these passages, the ant is recognized for being industrious, good conduct, and its wisdom. The ant prepares for the inevitable. The ant knows that hunger is going to come, and he wants to be prepared. The ant knows that he is going to have to live on what food he gathers in the summer. The ant goes back to his task of gathering food. He's not distracted. He does not act any time as being special. He does not draw attention to himself. He just goes about his task. Someone has said that no one preaches better than the ant, and she says nothing. We have all heard the expression, actions speak louder than words. Or, be sure you do as I say, not as I do. Peter spoke of this to Christian wives, those whose husbands had not obeyed the gospel. In 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 1 through 4, likewise, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they will be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. I'm going to read verses 3 and four, because I think it's so important today in the conflict that we're having in our nation and in the world on conduct. And if we watch television and news and we see the female reporters and their conduct sometime, I want to read verses 3 and 4 just for the young women and the importance that they have in God's plans. Do not let your adornment be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Those are important words. A lesson we need to learn as we think about these things this morning. Each of us are living in our period of probation. That may be a kind of confusing statement, but in Hebrews, the writer says in chapter 9, in verse 27, and just as it is appropriated for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. The ant, as the ant gathers food in the summer for the times ahead, each of us is living a life to prepare for death. Jesus taught that about this work when he said in John the 9th chapter in verse 4, we must work the work of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. The ant does not miss an opportunity, as you probably can attest. At any opportunity at his disposal to gather food, y'all agree, I'm sure. But Paul teaches us in Colossians, the 4th chapter in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. You know, Christianity is sort of a peculiar type situation. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every man. Every man and woman. He wanted his word to spread. He gave some to be teachers, some to be preachers. He gave some, as we read this morning, about being married to an unbeliever, and by the life that she lived, converts the husband. That happened in my family with my mother. But Christians is what could be called, Christianity could be called, a silent preaching. Now, silent preaching is something that we don't like to think about too much. Or we like to think about it when we quote scripture. We think about it here and may not know it. But Brother Chester has brought it to our attention quite often. In the same way, Jesus said in Matthew, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let our light shine. It is natural for mankind to want to be recognized for what he does. And it's natural, I guess, to desire praise, compliments. It's natural to be special. When a person's life is humble, clean, godly, sincere. You know, sincere is a word we don't use too much anymore. There is no occasion for attracting attention. We're going about our business of what Jesus wants. God sees and God knows, and when you get down to the bottom line, when you get through all of the thinking and the talking and the arguing and the disputing and the reasoning, if God sees and God knows and God is satisfied, that is all that matters. That is all that matters. An interesting note in passing, and this might make us think of Brother Zaruba, the organs of our physical body do their best work when they are not attracting attention. Think about it. The organs of our physical body do their best work when they are not attracting attention. To let our light shine does not require physical strength. It doesn't require special amount of IQ. It doesn't require us to exalt ourselves, hang a sign around our neck, wear a tag, put a license tag on our car. It doesn't require us to wear special jewelry, nor does it require us to be handsome or pretty as a picture. It does require daily work at a task that is at hand, that comes every day. And if you wonder what your task might be as a child of God, Jesus gives us a list. You can read it in Scripture. This work does not demand noise or commotion or display or haughty pride. A big problem to it is often jealousy, which is very harmful and dangerous in the church of our Lord. It requires humility, which might be a thing that we need to look at very carefully within our own lives. Proverbs 21 and verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are sin. It does demand sincerity and faithfulness, consistency. Paul warns that even preachers, while preaching, can be insincere. On one occasion, when he was talking about people attacking him, the former proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to affect me in my imprisonment. We're all aware of the constant effort it takes to be loyal, to be faithful, to be studious. If you get to talking about temptation, there's so many that you can't list them all. They're varied. All of us have different problems. You know, as I've grown older by a few years, junior high and high school, I didn't go to dances. And people talked about it and so forth. And I went along with it. As I've grown older, I thought quite a few times, was that really my belief? Or was it I was afraid I couldn't dance? A lot of times we don't do things because we just don't want to. We may have had a bad experience in our family. Somebody might have said something and it affected us in a way. But we have got, as a nation, as a people, as a group here at Eastside, to put our priorities straight. To get rid of excuses, because they are easy to find. To look at us as we work together for a common goal for each of us to get to heaven. To watch people grow and take pride in growth of individual Christians, of faithfulness of individual Christians. We need to be as that ant, just get on the trail to do our job, to not worry about others, what they think. We don't have to advertise. We don't have to be jealous. We don't have to be envious. We don't have to have excuses or anything, because to be able to stand before the throne of God and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," that will be far, far enough. There are some in this audience who have not confessed Jesus as Savior, have not had those sins of the past washed away, as Paul was told to do. To be able to be in Christ, to have the advantages that are there, that granted a lot of us may not take advantage of, all of them. To be able to pray through him to God, and he will hear us. What a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for all of us in Jesus to be baptized into Christ. And when you sometimes get tired and you say, "This is the same old rut. Being nice is just not my personality. But I'm trying. But I get tired." Whatever comes up, and you get tired of doing what Christ wants you to do, maybe think about the ant going about his business. The writer of Proverbs said he's wise. Be wise. If you're any way subject to the gospel invitation, won't you come as we stand this thing?